You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Mishnah lists Bilam as one of those people who doesn't have a portion in the world to come. And the Gemara has a whole historical record of the history of, in fact, Bilam and what he did during his historical record. Perish of the Psukim in Parshas Balak itself. It's a fascinating, you know, limud. The parachelik when it comes to what it contains. So I felt that after having read the and taught the part of the Gemara dealing with Bilam, and by the fact that you have some major questions that the Gemara never ever asked, which I'm going to post tonight concerning Bilam as a Navi. In fact, in the Chumash, he perhaps is the only Geish Navi after Matan Torah whose name is mentioned explicitly. The concept of Nevuah Rabbi Yisai didn't begin with Matan Torah, but the fact is the Rabban Hashem communicated with the Bnei Noach going back to Adam V'Chava from the beginning of Briyat Olam through a prophetic spirit of Hashem speaking to them. And this continued throughout Sefer Bereishis. The Avos V'Imos were known to be Nevi'im and Nevi'os. So the concept of Nevuah goes back to Briyat Olam. Why Bilam is so choshev, he's so unique and distinct, and the Torah felt the necessity of giving a whole parsha, Parshas Balak, talking about the Nevuahs of Bilam, and why those Nevuahs are recorded for perpetuity in the Chumash itself. We're going to discuss this evening, because you're going to see very shortly that many of his Nevuahs, especially those that relate was happening in our contemporary time frame, have tremendous relevance today. And tonight, I don't know if you realize, today itself is the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration, which was given over to the Jewish people on November 2nd, 1917. And it's 100 years later on, this is the centennial celebration of it. At least we're celebrating it. The Arab world could obviously mourning. So who?
The British are celebrating also. She invited.
Yeah, she. May is very positive, but there are a lot of negative people in the. So the fact of the matter is that I'm going to show you tonight. Believe it or not, that the connection between the Balfour Declaration and tonight and Chelek is good old Bilam. Watch what I do tonight to show you that. So you're going to find there's a connection of everything over here. So just sit back and watch.
What is the job of a non-Jewish Navi? What's he supposed to only communicate?
You're going to see tonight everything that you want to say. Okay, now. So the question now is, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of tonight's shiur. And to do that, you have in front of you a very, very interesting Maariv Mekamos. I'm going to skip initially the first two pages, which deal with certain psukim I'm going to emphasize, and get to page number one, which deals with the Rambam in Hilchos Yisod De'Atorah. What is interesting to note is that to be a full-fledged Navi requires certain prerequisites. And the Rambam does not beat around the bush. He tells you explicitly in Halach Aleph, in Perek Shvi, B'yaseida das leida shakel menabe es b'nei Adam, that the Rabban Hashem is the one who basically makes sure the Nevuah is transmitted over to human beings. If you notice, he doesn't say only to Klal Yisrael, to Bnei Adam, so quite obviously he communicates Nevuah to those human beings, or the Jews and non-Jews he feels should get Nevuah. But now we come to a problem. Ein Nevuah chala el ha-chachin gadol b'chachma. To be, however, a Navi candidate, you have to be a person who's gadol b'chachma. Gibir b'midaisav means a person who can control all of his taivos. So he's not talking about physical gevurah, he's talking about ezegiba kevesh is yitzra. Lo ye yitzra mizgabala b'dav oylem, elu mizgabah b'dayta yitzra tamid. Hu baal deir rechav v'nechena, a person has an incredible intellectual capacity. Adem rishim amulam kalmidus elu, A person who has all of these qualities, spiritual and physical, shalom begufo, kishachanis lapardes, imoshik, loisim, yanam, hagudelim, harachaykim, sila deyan, nechona, lahavin, lahasig. He then goes into the esoteric parts of interpretation of Torah, physics, metaphysics, Kabbalistic interpretations. To be a Navi candidate, you have to show you separate yourself from the normal activities of society around you, and you involve yourself in holy activities exclusively. Literally separating yourself from the ideas and the concepts and activities that are in vogue in your generation, and you're exclusively thinking about Hashem and Torah and everything that that means. You contemplate Malachim and the angelic entities of the Kabbalistic mystical world. When a person gets to this level of intellectual, spiritual perfection, Ruach HaKodesh envelops you. Ruach HaKodesh is looked upon as level number one of the concept of prophecy. You become very close to angelic entities when you start getting enveloped with Nevuah. You become a different person. You realize you've undergone a major change in your essence by becoming influenced with Ruach HaKodesh, the beginnings of prophecy. So we therefore see that when it comes to a prophet, there are prerequisites. There are intellectual prerequisites, spiritual prerequisites, kedusha prerequisites, in order for you to be able to become a prophet in Klal Yisrael. And a prophet, period, because the Rambam says, Manabi es b'nei Adam. He doesn't just say, be Manabi Klal Yisrael. What's also interesting and fascinating is that the Rambam and the rest of this parak then differentiates four or five differences between the prophecy of Shar Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael and the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to see very shortly, if you go back to the Chumash sheets, the first page you have in the Chumash sheets prefacing the Rambam is Pasuk Yud, which was said in the eulogy of Moshe being made by Hashem at the end of the Torah. So it means that Moshe's level of Nevuah was never reached by anybody of any Jew or personality before he came into existence. And nobody who ever is going to come after Moshe Rabbeinu will ever reach that level of prophetic capacity that he possessed. So quite obviously, what are the four differences? Just to mention them quickly, you'll see why I'm doing this. So the Rambam in the next halachas mentions them very, very simply. I'm going to give you a very kitzanim rats, because I'm not going to read all through this because I have a lot to talk about tonight. Number one is, all Nevi'im except for Moshe Rabbeinu had to be in a state of a prophetic trance. They had to be asleep, whether they're sleeping by day or sleeping by night, in order to receive the Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi that was standing up, awake, Panim upon him, like a person speaks to another person. The Torah in Parshat Baloska emphasizes this, in particular to the shinuyim between Miriam and Aaron's Nevuah and that of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was in a state of wakefulness. The other Nevi'im had to be in a state of prophetic trance in order to receive the Nevuos. Since the Nevuos that they received were discussions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they themselves, perhaps as human beings, and didn't have the pure spirit that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to ultimately achieve, their bodies acted, Ram says, mizazim. Their bodies used to shake because their bodies were being confronted with a metaphysical communication which opposes physical existence, So the bodies were shaking as they're going through convulsions as they were receiving their prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that problem. He reached a level that when he spoke to Hashem, his body did not shake anymore. The third difference the Rambam says is that when it came to the communication with Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a direct communication. Chazal call it aspaklari hamihira, a direct communication. When it came to the other Nevi'im, it was an indirect communication, and the medium of communication was not God speaking to them directly, but a malach was serving as the conduit of God's divine message. That's called an aspaklari she'enem ira, which Chazal used to devise it and to describe it and to ultimately interpret it. Another difference between Moshe's Nevuah and other Nevi'im is that Moshe was able to implement and speak to Hashem whenever he wanted to. It was like a B'nai Beiso, a Beis Neman who can come whenever he wanted to have a Nevuah. Other Nevi'im might have wanted to be in the state of receiving Nevuah, but they could not demand it, they could not initiate it, they had to wait for Hashem to come to them. When Hashem decides, you're not right for Nevuah now, you're not going to get Nevuah, so they had to wait for the Nevuah to come to them. Moshe had the ability continuously, once it reached his level, to initiate Nevuah whenever he so desired. So these are basically four of the chilukim that the Rambam says exist between the difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of Shai Nevi'im. Lakam Magmana Avika Moshe is connoting these four differences I just alluded to, mentioned by the Rambam Perek Zayin in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. In fact, the Rambam on page number 3 of Imar Mekomos goes as far as to say that Moshe Rabbeinu on the right hand side of the page, about 8 lines from the top, the Moshe didn't have to prepare his mind to receive Nevuah. He was mechuven u'mezumen v'oimik k'malach ha'shareis. He was like a malach, able to receive a God's communication immediately. And that's why after Maimed HaSinai, Moshe was told that he has to stay away from his wife from that point on forever. And he has to be totally prepared continuously 24/7 for communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'ficha parish man ish l'olam ha'kol domolav. Nikshura daitel atzor alamim. His mind was connected to that of the Ribbono Shalom. Lo nistalak milav hod l'olam. Karno panav v'nis kadesh kemalachin. He's like sanctified like a malach from that point on, from Kabbalah Satorah to the end of his career. Now, with this in mind, and understanding this, we now come to an obvious question. And that is, after having learned Perek Chelek and going through the various bletwach describing the lifestyle and the ideologies and the behavioral patterns of Bilam, you have to ask yourself the obvious question: how in the world did Bilam ever reach any level of Nevuah, period? He was totally the opposite of what the Rambam describes are the prerequisites you have to have in order.
This was normal of him.
Yeah,
was an abnormal Nevuah.
We're going to get to the question, but I'm opposing the question. It's not my question. Everybody asked the question. You'll see what the answer is given. But the obvious question is, why did the Ribbono Shalom allow Bilam to receive the Koach HaNevuah? The fact that the Gemara says at the end, when he showed he no longer was Ra'ui, he became from a Navi down to a Kosei, the Gemara says at the end. Which means Kosei. Kosei means like a sorcerer, you know. Yeah. But up until that point in time, he had a Koach HaNevuah. So the question is, why the Ribbono Shalom, when it came to prerequisites, will allow them to basically be ignored when it came to giving him this Koach HaNevuah, based upon the fact, I mean, the Gemara doesn't beat around the bush. He basically lived a life of Tumah, Ruach HaTumah, bestiality, with the aedis of his Asan. You know, basically, everything you can think about that represents Tumah, he basically lived by that Tumah. So how did he even come to level number one? This is the million dollar question. So the answer, I'm going to give you two answers immediately to this question. One is a Medrash Tanchuma, and one is a Kliyakas. In the Maamar Mekomos, I want you to turn to page 4. On page number 4, The Medrash Tankuma in Parshas Balak, in fact, really asks this question. But it asks it in a roundabout way, and the Rabban Hashem, you'll see when we came to the Kliyaka is even more specific. But I first want to show you the Medrash Tanchuma to give you a basic background of why Hashem saw the necessity of giving Nevuah to the non-Jewish world. It says on the right-hand side of the page, right in the beginning of Pasha Esraya Balak, the Sh'om HaKos of Atzur Tomim Pa'alok Kikod Arach of Mishpat, that the Rabban Hashem doesn't want to give an excuse to the Goyim Ba'iram for them to say the reason we didn't develop spiritually is because you didn't give us religious leaders similar to that of what you gave the Jews. Hashem realized that taina might be raised at the end of time. So the Rabban Hashem was very saying, no law, therefore did the following. Kashem Shehemid Malachim Chachamim Unavim Yisrael. The same way the Rabban Hashem gave Klal Yisrael kings and Chachamim and prophets throughout the ages. Kachemid L'umas Olam, the Rabban Hashem gave them similar personalities in the non-Jewish world. And the purpose was V'nivdeku. The Rabban Hashem wanted to see the difference between the Malkeim and Neveim v'Chachameim Shul Yisrael and the Malkeim and Neveim v'Chachameim Shul Muslim. We wanted to record for perpetuity what our Gedolim, depending upon what office you had, what they accomplished with the Rishayon that Hashem gave them when it comes to their interaction with the world, and what the non-Jewish world did when it came to them reacting to these types of kafas given to them, and to be able to see the major difference between their perspective and our perspective.
Why did he have to pick the lowest human being possible?
Because quite obviously he wasn't the lowest. You'll see very shortly, Avin Medrash says, Bilam was the highest of the lowest. So therefore, they're basically, of them, he was the highest of the guys. They couldn't find anybody better. He was the highest of what they had available to be a prophet. I'll show you Medrash, I have it contained over here. So the Gemara, so the Medrash continues. So the Medrash says the following. The Medrash says, "Vehemid Shlomo Melech al kol aretz, v'chein osel avunu luchad netzah, sheneve gam eschayis asod nesatu l'avdo." What did each one do? When it came to Shlomo, Bona Beis HaMikdash V'ama, excuse me, Kama Renonos V'tachnunim, he sang the praises of God, etc., etc. V'zeh, and when it came to luchad netzah, what did he do? Zehech Rivo, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, for Cheder, for Gideif, and he blasphemed God's name. For Alma Ella, Abam Se'av, Adam Elion, he in fact he considered himself to be a deity, a god in his own right. Nasim David Oysher, God gave David tremendous wealth. Raka Chabayis Lishmo, and he used it to buy the real estate for the Beis HaMikdash and the materials used to build the holy house later on. He gave all this over to Shlomo for him to have all the materials and lines he needed to build. For Nasan Lahaman, Aisher, and what did he do with his riches? He wanted to pay off Achashverosh, that with this money he'd be able to kill the Jews in the Persian Empire. Kol Gedula Shenatu Yisrael Atamait Shenatu Matkiyotaba. Hamid Moshe Yisrael Kishoyim Adab Imo Kozman Sheyirza. Hamid Lehem Bilam Adab Imo Kozman Sheyirza. This is crucial.
Wow. Same level.
According to the Medrash Tanchuma, we'll see why the Tanchuma is doing this, because I'm going to show you Medrash Chazal, the Sifra that says, Lokom Kamoshe, Avol Be'umas Olam. There was somebody who was come like Kamoshe, and that was Bilam. So the obvious question is, what similarity did they share for the Sifra to make such a statement? So the Medrash Tanchuma's answer is that the quality of Moshe having the ability to cause the Nevuah to take place whenever he wanted, this quality which only Moshe and no other Jewish prophet before or afterwards ever had that quality, he allowed, believe it or not, Bilam to have that quality, to have the ability to solicit Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he desired. And that's something that this Medrash is unique. If that's the case, That's the only similarity we're going to see when it comes to Moshe and to Bilam from tonight's discussion, that availability. Re'ema be'nevi Yisrael and nevi Umas. But as a general perspective, says the Medrash, I want to show you to focus what Jewish Nevi'im did with prophecy, what were their sensitivities, and what the Goyish world did with prophecy, and what were their sensitivities, or lack of sensitivities. Not only were the Jewish prophets concerned with giving prophetic messages of Musar and Hashkafa to Klal Yisrael, but they also did this in relation to the Goyish world. The most famous is the one we read on Yom Kippur. Yonah was sent to give Musar. When it comes to Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah was told that one of your Nevi'ah's purposes will be also to give Nevi'ah to Goyim. Nevi'im Shehemit min Umas Nostim Pirtzal Abed Esabriyos Olam Haba. When it came to the Goyish Nevi'im, they caused all different types of corruption to take place, ultimately to cause human beings to literally be destroyed, not only from this world, but from the world to come, by causing them instruction in not in spirituality, but instruction in contamination, tuma, which causes them to therefore forfeit olam haba. V'la'ot, el'kol ha'nevi'im ho'yu b'midas rachma ma'yisrael umas ha'olam. When it came to Jewish prophets, they had a mid of compassion, not only for Klal Yisrael's concerns and needs, but they had a concerning compassion for even what was happening to the Goyish world. Shekein Yeshaya Omer al kemei lamoav kekina yehamu. When things were happening to Moav in the world, negative things, Yeshaya felt an emotional, physical pain to what was happening to them at that specific point in time. Chein Yecheskel Omer ben Adam saw al tzarkina. When things were happening to Tzar, to Tyre, he says, basically say a kina, a tefila, concerning the terrible tragedies befalling them. On the contrary, forget about having midas rachamim, they themselves had tremendous midas of cruelty, and the proof is that Shazeh Ahmad, this Bila, who was the best, Ahmad la'aka uma shleim achinam alo davar. He basically, once he was requested, was very willing to go and to participate, to curse them without any reason whatsoever. Why Hashem finally decided to remove from them the ability to have Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. Why? Look what this Bilam did, who came from them. Rema also what he tried to do with this specific power.
The first time he did that was with Paro. He was one of the Miyites.
Destroyed him. Yeah, exactly. When about Gemara, that's another Gemara we had in the Chelek in Sanhedrin. Shlosh Haya Pa'isa Isa Eitza. Going back to the beginning. And they were basically Bilam, Eov, and who? And Yisrael. So the Gemara says that Yisrael, who protested and ran away because the power was going to kill him, so he was Zocha later on to join Klal Yisrael and to have a good chassan, Moshe Rabbeinu, and his kids become heads of the Sanhedrin. But Eov, who basically kept his mouth shut, he wanted to play to be a good politician. So he was given the Yisurim and Sefer Eov. And Bilam, who basically encouraged Paro, kill him. So ultimately he got killed, but ultimately Becherev later on with the sword, and as is recorded in the Chumash later on. So we therefore see that this Bilam himself was created to be a role model of what a Navi could be, but he used the Keichas for Keichas Atum and not for Keichas Akadusha. And on the contrary, we're going to see in the bigger picture, whether we like it or not, he at the end used whatever chachma he had to miyatz how to cause Klal Yisrael to be caused to be rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Eitzah, with the Znuyot, the Kedomer, of how to get back at them. I mean, the famous statement of Ma'echo L'Kavakel, I can't curse the Jews if God doesn't want to curse them. So if that's the case, my Kayach, Abrach, V'Klala are basically, totally, have been closed down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I can tell you what the Rabbanu Shalom quite obviously prides about the Jewish people. And when they violate those specific things that make us unique and distinct, and act with certain keichas atuma, and he starts delineating harayas being one of them, and other things as well, about Zara as well, shvichas dam. When they get involved in that type of stuff, the Rabbi Nashom is ready to have the gzar din of midas adin go after them. So the only way you can destroy them is being machal klal yisrael that they sin, but my kayach, the kayach nevuah, the curse of bless, ain't going to help you. And that was the last thing he mentioned before he went off the scene in the Chumash itself. Now, what is interesting to note, and now I'm going to show you very, pass the page number 5, a very beautiful Kliyakar. The Kliyakar himself, in the beginning of Sefer Yikra, notes something quite fascinating. That the Vayikra is written with an Aleph Ze'era. A Klenchik Aleph, you know, actually the word should be written Vayikar. There's a little Aleph, which means we read it Vayikra, not Vayikar. But the Rabbanish, when it came to talking to Bilam, did use the word Vayikar. So the question is, why did the Rabbanish do this? So if you look in the Kliyakar, so the Kliyakar says on page number 5, Vayikra al Moshe, Aleph of Vayikra, he says, Katana ki'ilu nema Vayikar, the time of Shadava lahashvas nevuas Moshe el nevuas Bilam. He's also now going to come to explain the concept lo kam ba'uma ba'klal Yisrael like Moshe, ba'kam ba'umas olam. We'll see his version of this. And what's the similarity between Moshe's Nevuah and Bilam? Shenem ala loshen vayika kamosha amru, ba'kam navi obi yisrael kamosha ava ba'umas olam kam amonu Bilam. Ein ha'perish. Don't explain this to mean to say that Bilam was on the same level of Moshe when it comes to Nevuah in all of his capacities, chas v'shalom, ela kach perusha, she Moshe hisig, yosem ha'masha ha'yiroi lahasig, api achanasa k'moshe ne'mar, asha yodo Hashem, asha yodo es Hashem l'nema, ela lo molach, shehu mitzad hachanasa lo yodo es Hashem al ze ofen, Kim Hashem Yodo Nosan Lo Tosef Shefa, Bi Israel Ratzalomar, Bishus Israel, the Kol Shar Nevi Israel, Kol Echa Lo Hesig Yosem Echidei Hakanoso, Avo Ba'umas Olam, Kom Acher Lechvodim She Israel, She Hesig Yosem Asho Eroi Lahasig, Al Pi Hakanoso. So he says, number one, that I wanted to know the following. Why both by Moshe and by Bilam the word Vayikar is mentioned in the big ICOs is to tell you that there is an interesting similarity that Moshe and Bilam had. Now, what was the similarity? Bilam got Nevuah because of the ulterior motive of Tzkavet Klal Yisrael, because of the Medrash Tanchuma, Pistampeh. If you ask whether he was deserving of Nevuah, even on level number 1, which is called Ruach HaKodesh, the answer is he wasn't even ready for that. He should have gotten 0 with 0. Based upon where he's coming from and his whole Mahalak HaChayim, he shouldn't have been zochet to anything. When Hashem gives you a Koach Nevuah above your capacities, Hashem shows you this by using the word Vayikar, which is a Lashon Chazal say of estrangement, a Lashon of happenstance, momentary. In fact, the Lashon used by Rashi is a Lashon Shel Tuma, which meant to say Hashem is very uncomfortable when he has to give you a prophetic capacity to relate to him if he doesn't feel you're roi for that specific capacity. Bilam received his Nevuah, and to show you how uncomfortable Hashem was with it, that he got Nevuah above what he was deserving of based upon his own capacities. Vayikar indicates that. And the Chiddush is, we're going to see very shortly, even Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to the Nevuah he got, that he basically had those 4 qualities I showed you before, Elokom Kamosh amongst the Jewish prophets, no prophet before or afterwards, even the Avos, ever were on that specific level, that's something he got not because of his own hachanot, his own capacities. Let's say, for instance, there is a Richter scale of Nevuah of 10. I'm using like a mushal from the Rambam in Sefer of the Mar Nevuchim. So Moshe on his own kochos might have reached level number 7 on the Richter scale of 10. But for him to accomplish his shlichus of Klal Yisrael, to be the most satirah, to be able to communicate to Hashem on the level of clarity he needed, that wasn't sufficient for him to function on the level he had to be during his period of Nevuah. So Hashem gave him a special zuchus, a raising him from level 7 to level number 10, the highest level, because of Klal Yisrael's needs to have their prophet, who's going to be the most satir at the Klal Yisrael, to be on that level of a level of a ma'ara, of a appearance and connection to Hashem that literally is as clear can be. That type of concept was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a matana above his capacities. Hashem therefore wrote the word vayikar in vayikra to indicate that that hosafa was b'teiras tzarech hashah, the same way the nevuah of Bila was b'tzarech hashah, but no therefore, so according to him,
no equality at all.
There's no equality like the Medrash Tanchuma says when it comes to. So what I point out to you is he is disagreeing with the Medrash Tanchuma, yeah. But I'm just showing you another mahalach over here.
Yeah.
The Israel. Yeah. So, but Umas, what does that mean? That Hashem allowed the Umas Olam to have a Navi be created to communicate with God above their normal human capacities. So he was able to reach level number 1 because of the need to have somebody represent them as a Navi in this world. It should be a Pistam Peh. So he got from level minus 100 to level number 1.
It takes away the tiny, though.
Yeah, yeah.
The tiny is... No, but the tiny is, if we would have had a Moshe Rabbeinu,
yeah,
we would have been Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
And now he said, you gave us Bilam. A little Moshe Rabbeinu.
In any event, forget about that. I've never heard a guy ever argue that back to me. So in any event, let's get back to this.
So be using his power.
So let me continue with the Kliyakir. So the Kliyakir says, "Hine me ayidua shekol masha navi masig es haroylo al piachonaso oisavu devukabo beetzbeatzimuso." When you, as a navi, as a Jewish navi, reach a certain level of nevuah based upon your own kolchos of spiritual preparation, it becomes an essence of your being, and it stays with you. But if you're giving nevuah up and above your capacities, it stays with you only b'mikra temporarily. Ulo be'etzem, rak matas elokim hu momentarily. Okay, nema lashon v'yikah, b'moshu b'bilam, l'horos, shayushavim b'zeh b'masha, hayusa b'shneim hasaga mikris, neyusav ala royale mitzat atzmusa. Ubezeh, he says, now I can therefore explain the first Rashi in the Chumash in Parshas v'yikra, masha pirish Rashi v'yikah lashon aroi, v'lashon tuma. V'haya, Dai be'echman litain hivdab and vayikal of vayikra elafish rashi sover gam kain shenavuas moshe hayisa b'mikra v'lo be'etzem. The level he reached was also b'mikra. Lafizek kashul alav lo nikta vayikar below aleph klal. So the obvious question is, if Moshe and Bilam had this similarity, so when it comes to Moshe being called over here, why does it say Vayikra with an Aleph? It should say Vayikra to Moshe, the same as it says Vayikra when it comes to Bilam, if they had that similarity. So Rashi answers, Lomar, Lefi Shaloshin Vayikra Mashma Loshin Aroi, momentary, temporary, Tainu Hamikra Mashma Gamkein, Loshin Tuma, in Loshin Tanakh. But when it comes to Moshe, Hashem did not feel any contamination communicating to him. With Bilam, he definitely felt that way. To take away the tumah part, so the Rosh made a pshara over here to show that for him it was Lashon Shalchiba, Vayikra is the way we read it as the Baal Kaira, but to show you that what he got in his Hosafa was basically only B'mikra, the word Vayikra is written with Oisias Gedelos. The Aleph is a Lashon Aleph Zera to show this differential when it comes to Moshe. Now, what's the proof text of this? Is the next paragraph. The proof text is V'yochel Yoshezel Das HaMedrash K'demasik B'yalkin Shemoni V'pozizel Yoshezel Yochel Tzarech Atzma Diba Hashem HaMoshe Tamad Lomer Leimor. L'tzarach Yisrael dabim, Hashem only spoke to Moshe for Klal Yisrael's needs, for lo l'tzarach, not for Moshe's needs. Ubemedrus the mechusa beer keichial al das lomar shediba shel mitzvahs all you l'tzarach Moshe provide. You think Hashem only gave mitzvahs to Moshe Rabbeinu and not to Klal Yisrael? V'chi ubevad shem anuch Hashem l'chi l'cha at Har Sinai elavadai shemalas and nevuhu. Medaber shezach Moshe la'yika ha'hainu nevu mikris shenitayso lo yes mechtei hachanaso shediba shem ita panim apanim b'schus Yisrael for lo bavur atzmuso. What's his proof? V'zesh amu l'tzarch Yisrael d'abimah l'tzarchem zach l'asav v'zu v'lo l'tzarch atzmuso shen lo kapel Yisrael b'Moshe. And he says beiz meshameshes loshin b'avur l'fikach kishach. This is his proof. Kishachatu Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel Zav, what did Hashem say to him? L'moshe leich reid kishiches amcha. So Chazal darshin leich reid megedulascha dahainu mitosefe shefa shenitum lo b'avur Yisrael. So it means momentarily when Klal Yisrael sinned, he took away those extra milas, so he went down to his level 7, which he had keiches, but the 3 of higher than that was taken away. And only after the mechil of Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, "Lati v'recha." Moses, Chazal say that Hashem gave back Kadmusa Shomar, Davashom Moshe upon him, etc. Perez a Yakar. So we therefore see Rabbi Isai that according to the Kli Yakar, the only similarity and the purpose of the Sefer was to tell us that amongst Klal Yisrael, every Navi got the level of Nevuah they deserved. Whether it was Avraham, Yisrael, Yaakov. All Nevi'im, Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Yemia.
It was Noach and Navi.
What? Noach also had Korach and
Nevuah. Because Baruch Hu spoke to him, right?
Perhaps that's why I said in my opening statements, but back to Adam V'Chava, they were already Nevi'im at that point in time. It's like on a level of Ruach HaKadosh. Level number 1.
You are listening to BenStorah.com.
The essence of Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't changed, and the light was coming out of his face. And
it was continual. It was continual. And the fact of the matter is that's why I show you in the beginning of the Rambam that Har Sinai he was niskadesh 40 days, 40 nights, being with Hashem without food and drink. So Chazal say, what did he survive upon? He was Nena Meziv Ashkina. So he got a taste of what it means to be a Guf in the Gevia, not physically supported by nutrition of this world, but supported by the nutrition, divine nutrition of Ziv Ashkina. The Ramban happens to hold in Chumash that when it comes to at the end of time, when we have Tchias HaMesim and Yemos HaMashiach, and then we're going to ultimately have the end of days, Achras Yamim, which will then swivel into what's called Olam Haba. So the Ramban says, this is his shita, that what's going to happen at the end is that after we have Tchias HaMesim and Achras Yamim, and people will live healthy, wonderful, beautiful, happy lives, at the end, we're not going to have people dying a second time, but Hashem is going to swivel the Bria, that when it comes to the tzaddikim, tzidkanios left in the world at the end of time, that could be in the millions and the billion, whatever, as many people are going to survive that, even Chassidim Se'olam, who are on that level, will also be able to. Hashem's going to switch the system that they're no longer going to survive on physical eating and drinking of food like a physical world, but Hashem's going to switch the system. You're going to be good for Gevia, v'nena meziv Ashchina, like Moshe had momentarily 40 days, 40 nights on Har Sinai. The Ramban says explicitly in the Chumash that Moshe had a taste of what it's going to mean at the end of time. That's going to be B'maisa Mashiach when it comes to that Geula. But that's the time of Geula.
Surf and turf.
Yeah, surf and turf. But I'm talking about now when it comes to eternal existence at the end of time. This is the Ramban Shita. The Ramban disagrees, but that's the Ramban Shita. And in fact, the Ramban goes as far as saying, Pashas B'Shalach, that because Klal Yisrael were raised to such a high spiritual plane, in the Midbar, when they experienced Golden Kriyas Yamsuf, and they saw even a Shifchus on Yam, the Maisi Merkava on a high level in Yecheskei Ben Buzi, the Medrash Chazar, Rashi quotes in the Chumash. So he says, Ramban the Chumash, that Klal Yisrael going through the Kriyas Yamsuf, seeing that Maisi Merkava, were raised to such a high spiritual plateau, that later on in the Midbar, when Hashem had to give them food for 40 years, and he gave them man, and Hashem always man, Mun was a crystallized form of Ziv Hashchina. They were able to taste
spiritual food.
It was a spiritual food that was made physical, because at that time they were not on that level yet, but they had already a taste of what Ziv Hashchina is capable of doing in a physical form. One day it's going to function on a level of total spiritual essence, like Moshe on Sinai, but they were given a taste of that Ziv Hashchina for 40 years, day and night, by the Mon being a crystallized form of Ziv Hashchina. So Ramban Chumash, it's Peledik, and Pashas V'Sharach, he has a whole Arichus about this. So let's go back now. So we therefore have Rabbi Yisrael, we therefore see so far, two different Perushim of exactly what the similarities were, but one thing is for sure, Moshe and quite obviously and Bilam were totally on two different levels, and this is quite obviously fascinating, something that has to be emphasized. Now, what I want to show you, Rabbi Yisrael, now in the next couple of minutes is the following. And that is, when you look at the Parshas Balak, and you look at it from from an overview, what you see when some of the themes coming out of this parasha is the following. Number one is, Bilam had to be moda, whether he liked or not, that he has no right to menabe to do anything, curse or give blessing, without the reshus of the Rabban Hashem. He said that in the very beginning, when they came to hire his services, and he said that at the end as well, no matter what you try to do, no matter how much money you're going to give me, I can't go against the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's Nevuah you want me to use, but Teres Nevuah, I'm subject to God's rules and regulations. And what I can tell you now is that he's not going to allow me to curse him. That's number one. Number two, the next thing you see over here is that deep words in his neshama, he was hoping and praying that Klal Yisrael would sin sometime during the sojourn that he had with the Moabites and the Midianites. He was able to bechave in that time of the day that Hashem has a split second of anger for any type of negative activity. He was able to bechave in that shah. And Baruch Hashem, the Rabban Hashem made sure during that time frame, there was no anger that he generated to allow him to use that specific position. So he says, I can't curse them because my kayach is in that second. If Hashem is making sure nothing negative happens during that second, I'm basically out of business when it comes to doing klalos. Number three, what you see quite interesting is, and Chazal say, that from the brachas that are mentioned in the actual Chumash itself, that he was mavarech, which Balak protested, now we haven't cursed, but you gave brachas, the really, Chazal say, he wanted to mekalo them. But the Rabban Hashem, through a malach or through a hook, or a chaka, was mahapek the klolos into brachos. So if you want to know what the klolos were, they're the opposite of the brachos that are mentioned in the Chumash itself. So if you want to see what the klolos would have been, they would have been the opposite. The Gemara says that explicitly. And then the Gemara says, I'm going to get to that part right now, the Gemara says the only exception to that rule of being mahapech was basically the pasuk Matovo Lechiyako Mishkan Asech Yisrael, that of all the various brachas that were given, that specific bracha was given eternal existence. Why am I saying that? Because the Gemara then says that when Klal Yisrael and later generations did sin, he allowed the brachos of Bilam that he gave to revert back to the klalos initially he wanted to makalu them with. The Gemara says this explicitly in Chelek, that all the brachos were allowed to be mishapech to the klalos he wanted to give initially when Klal Yisrael sinned later on. The only one of the brachos Hashem made sure would never ever, even when Klal Yisrael sinned, be able to be mehupech was Ma'atov Lech Yaakov. That represented the power of Bati Knesses, Bati Midrashos, and the power of Tefillah V'Torah, which Klal Yisrael maintained throughout all the centuries. Because even though there were a lot of Rishayim out there, there was still some Yechidei Sekula Tzadikim who were involved and still learning Torah, involved in being Mespaut HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the schus of those limited Tzadikim and Tzadkanyos, they were involved in Torah Tefillah, Bati Midrash, Bati Midrashos. So that specific bracha was never ever mishapech to a klala, but all the other ones were momentarily, as the Gemara says explicitly in the Daf Yomi, if you remember that specific daf. So the Matovo Lech Yaakov Mishkan Sesra shows you that the schus of klala is a schus kiyum, even at the time of sin.
I never understood that. How can you mahapech a bracha to a klala? A bracha is a bracha. Not a cloak.
No, because so the fact of the matter is, when it comes,
suggests an answer.
Who?
But the Gemara actually suggests
an answer.
When it compares the klolos that we find in the Torah to the brachas of Bilam, and it shows that the klolos have embedded in them a bracha. We might talk about the bending reeds that they could bend, but they don't break.
Right.
When Mashen came Bilam, he compared us to a cedar, which is a bracha because it's a cedar, but it's a klola too. Because when the south wind came, it broke.
So that Gemara I remember, because you all remember.
So all the klolas.
But the fact is that just shows you the flexibility. Mm-hmm. But what I want to be megala to you is that the answer to your question goes back to the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Because in the Bris HaBesarim, one of the four promises made to Klal Yisrael, or one of the four warnings to Klal Yisrael is that all that I mentioned concerning your indestructibility, and your Shlomo Derech HaTeva, and getting Eretz Yisrael, and all the wonderful stuff, is contingent on the fact that you're a Shomer Torah v'mitzvos. If there is a Yerida Ruchanis that you undergo as a people, you're going to undergo divine punishment. And that's why Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim, because Chazal say that Avram had a certain slippage when it comes to his spirituality, which caused Klal Yisrael at that time to have to experience the concept of Shiba Mitzrayim to cleanse themselves of that specific Yerida. So Chazal tell us that in the actual Bris Bein HaBesarim, Hashem said, if Klal Yisrael are Zoche, then Klal Brachas HaKesuvos B'Torah will apply to them. If Klal Yisrael start to rebel and they're not Zoche, and they're kicked out of Eretz, so they go into Golos, then all the Klolos of the Torah that possibly could be there will apply to them. But not forever. You know, your level of Brachal Klola, while Golos and Golos will depend upon your spiritual level. So you already have a forecast there concerning the Mehubah. But I want to go further. Getting to the topic of tonight, the last part that to me is very important to mention. So we therefore have that also mentioned in the Chumash itself, the brachos, the immutability to Mekalel, what he wanted to do. But of all the things mentioned in the Chumash, which people do not take focus upon, I want to point something out now and turn out the page Beis of the Maran Mekalel. And that is towards the end. We find on Pasuk page days that we have that Bilam tells Balak, I want you to know something. And only what Hashem tells me and puts in my mouth to say, I can speak. I'm going back to my nation. I'm going to tell you what Klal Yisrael is going to do to you and to the non-Jewish world at the end of time. So he's talking about now the concept of ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael and the ultimate nikmas Hashem against the Goyish world that tortured us throughout the generations. And he starts with his nevuah, falling on his face, which meant to say this was through a prophetic trance like all other nevi'im except Moshe Rabbeinu. And we come to Pasuk Yud Zayin. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, he says, "Arenu v'lo ato, Asherenu v'lo karav, Dara kacha miyakav, v'kam shevet miyisrael, Machatz pasemo, v'kakel g'vnei sheis, v'ayadum yereisho, yereisho seyir, oyu v'yisrael zechayo, etc. etc. v'yaramole, v'yamshalo, reishas goyim ha'molach, hakris adei oveg." So over here we have a whole bunch of nevuahs being mentioned. Now what I want to share with you tonight, Rabbi Yisai, and its connection with the Balfour Declaration is the following. There is a Gadol who lived in the 1600s. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh was his name. Or HaChaim. Now Or HaChaim is one of the few Gedolim who says that this pasuk of Arenu v'lo ato Asher lo karav Darkav Yaakov, he says this pasuk itself, if you want to know what the pasuk means, I'm going to relate this pasuk to a specific Gemara in Shas in Masechta Sanhedrin, which connects to it. What Gemara does he connect it to? So if you look in your Maran Mekumas, Rabbi Yisai, he connects it to Gemara Daf Tzadiches in Masechta Sanhedrin. It's in on page in your Maran Mekumas. I'll tell you what page to turn to, if you give me for 1 second. Turn to page towards the end, all the way towards the end. Turn to page number 11, where the Gemara in Sanhedrin has on the bottom of the page, this part, the famous Nevuah of Yeshaya of Be'ito Achishena, in which the Gemara tells us that the two types of gulas that can take place at the end of time, the concept of a gula shezachu, in which we have the description of what's going to happen, that's going to be an achishena, a quick-moving, miraculous, supernatural type of a gula, where you're going to have people flying through the sky with clouds and such, and it's going to be a super miraculous thing like gulas Mitzrayim, which was full of nisim nagla'im. You also have a possibility at the end of time you're going to have a gula shelo zachu, where Klai is not zocha, and therefore it's going to be b'derech ha-teva, and they compare that k'ani k'reichav ala chamar, and that's called the gula shelo zachu. It's going to be basically b'derech ha-teva, and it's going to follow its way through to the end, b'derech ha-teva,
well,
all the way to the end.
Maybe a combination? How about a combination?
Well, I'm going to get to that. Now, what does the Aruch Chaim Kadosh say? He says the gula shezachu is dorech kochav miyakov, like a shooting star, something that's supernatural, a person flying in the sky. So what you have, Bilam saying, is there are two possibilities of gulas that can happen at the end of time. I can't tell you which one it's going to be, but the Rabban Hashem showed me, b'derech nevuah, there are two possibilities. So the dorech kochav miyakov is the gula shezachu, that's the achishena gula. He says the concept kom shav kom shevet mit Yisrael, that second part of the pasuk is referring to a gula shelo zachu, where the rov of klais are assimilated and acculturated. He compares that to kani kareichav ala chamar, which means that their redemption has to be b'derech ha-teva. And what's that? Similar to gulas klais at the time of after Purim, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, where we had to use political clout with the Goyish world and use rishi and hamalchus, who had geopolitical control over Eretz Israel, to use their offices and their power to basically get us back to Eretz Israel and allow us to return to build the base of Mikdash. So he, the Rachaim HaKadosh, says that that pasuk concerning two possible geulas, which the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin, is really the pshat of the pasuk in Parshas Balak. And he was basically revealing, I can't tell you which way it's going to be for the Jews, but I can tell you one thing, they're going to succeed, whether zachu shelo zachu, that I will tell you, and the nevuah I'm giving you is the possibility that the two potential options. So Rechaim HaKadosh says in the Chumash, therefore, that the pshat of the Gemara in Masechta the Sanhedrin, which just quotes the Bi'icha Shena, it really stems from an earlier statement mentioned by Balak at the end in his last nevuahs before he left the proximity of Balak, telling that Klal Yisrael will ultimately succeed at the end of time, even as the Gula Shelo Zachu. They'll destroy all the enemies that have threatened them throughout the generations. So the military success and the concept of Alak Hashibet Malchus, which the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, is one of the critical factors between Yemos and Mashiach, and before we won't have Shiva Malchus anymore. So all of that stuff's going to happen. Whether it's going to happen miraculously through Nisim Shalom B'derech HaTeva, like the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, what's going to happen B'derech HaTeva by Klai's having to have their own army and superior military capacities, and with the Rishi and Amalchus, with the Goyish world, in this case America and such. So the fact of the matter is, that at, we have two possibilities portrayed. So what happened? Why am I saying this? Because when the Balfour Declaration came around, and that was November 2nd, 1917, which is 100 years from today. At that juncture, when that happened, the reaction of certain Gedolei Yisrael basically came forth, in which they said, from what we see happening now, we therefore see this is a Gula Shelo Zachu, because we now have the Rishon and Hamalchias of the geopolitical control of Eretz Yisrael that was under at that time the British government, preventing the Ottoman or the Turkish Empire from basically having control. So they, basically speaking, are the ones who are now helping the Jews with the Balfour Declaration being given to Rothschild to be given over to the Jewish people, that they're being told that the British government will facilitate the establishment of Jewish homeland for Jews as best as they possibly can. So that phenomenon was perceived by the Ar Sameach, who was the great Luther Shigadol, as a Gula Shelo Zachu. It was also looked upon by the Avnei Nezer as a siman, as one of the chasidish shegedolim, as a gula shelav zachu. The Chafetz Chaim looked upon this as a siman of a gula shelav zachu. And the Aster Rav Sarebbe, who I always quote, looked upon. So what I'm saying to you is, ironically,
the Mukacha,
he went in a different direction, which we're not going to discuss tonight. But what I'm trying to show you how ironic it is that we're learning Parshas Perechelik, and we just finished the Tekufa learning about Bilam, and the Nevuah is a Bilam, and it just so happens, when we're learning these specific Parshios, it just so happens that the Balfour Declaration's anniversary is coming out exactly at the time we're involved in Daf Yomi, learning about the brachas given to us by Bilam at the end of time. So he already forecast the concept of a Balfour Declaration being there to give us back Eretz Avodah Chetev of Rishon HaMalchus. The fact of the matter is, we're now 100 years past that, and Kanan Ahara, look where Eretz Yisrael is when it comes to its incredible existence. You're right. With all the openness, there are a lot of hidden miracles behind the scenes which can't be explained away as just being just happenstance. I mean, we've seen tremendous, but it doesn't happen necessarily the open miracle natures that we saw by Kriyas Yam Suf, but there are plenty of miracles behind the scene. The only thing I wanted to simply say to you is, if that's the case, Rabbi, so we therefore see that everything we learned in the Daf Yomi, it's amazing. Somehow, historically, it connects and relates to the events taking place at that point in time. And in fact, another thing I want to point out to you, the psukim quoted this week in the last couple of blot are part of Pashas Vayera, the concept of Sodom V'Amor we discussed the other day. It's mamish. This week's Pashas HaShavua, Pashas Vayera, Sodom V'Amor. So a mamish learning in the Daf Yomi shut them on the Pashas HaShavua of what we're going to be laying in this coming. I mean, it's an amazing phenomenon. It's mamish amazing. And then even Rabbi Isai, HaKol Ramuz Baraisa, I think you now understand what Bilam accomplished and what Bilam accomplished. But one thing is for sure, the Matov Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Sech Yisrael is Chai V'Kaim Ad HaYom HaZeh. In fact, we're having a shiur tonight. It is a siman that Debrach has been Mekuyim. And the fact of the matter, Rabbi Isai, is that the Gula Shel Hazacho is continuing and flourishing, and quite obviously is increasing when it comes to redemption. We see that also happening. So that Brach is being Mekuyim as well, and that Nevuah is being Mekuyim. Let's hope and pray, Rabbi Isai, that ultimately the Gula itself will go, as you want to say, from a Lel Zacho to a Zacho mode. And I personally believe that is the pshat of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Sophie Solasa Shuva, that maybe the beginning might be a Gula Shel Hazacho, but at the end, when Klai Yisrael realizes what's going on, there'll be such a Hisairis, it'll go from a Lozacho to a Zacho. Halavai, we should witness that in our days.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.